Good morning. Welcome to Conversations. My name is Kayleen Welsh, and I'm your host for this week's episode. And I'm pleased to be in the studio today with Tanya Birka. And we're going to talk about Viroqua Community Theater and some of the things that they've got coming up, particularly a special event that's coming up shortly. So, Tanya, I'm just really grateful that you're able to join me at this kind of a bit of late notice to come in here and talk about what you got going on. So,
thanks, Kayleen. I'm really happy to be here.
Yay. Well, all right. So I love this idea of a local playwright event, and that's really what caught my attention for what Viroqua Community Theater has coming up now. So, but I'd love to just start a little bit with, I know you've been involved with the theater for some time, so just give me a little background.
I actually haven't been involved in it probably as long as you might think, maybe for the last 7 or 8 years.
That's quite a while.
Yeah, well, I've worked with people who've studied it and gone to school for it and been doing it for decades, so... I really got started working with actually one of our playwrights. She wrote a play a number of years ago for which we performed at the Commons, now called the Arcadia, called The Dam Play. And that was Kay O'Brien. And I just on a whim went out to an audition and got cast, and sort of the bug hit me. I'd always loved theater, but I had never been in a production. So that's kind of where it started.
Okay, well, and so, and I know you've been busy with all of that in the community in the last number of years. So let's just, are you a Viroqua native?
I am not. I've been here for a dozen years and originally from Minneapolis.
Okay. I've never really gotten the spark for the theater myself. I always admire people that are willing to kind of get up there on the stage and put themselves out there in another character. I don't know. Any comment about that?
Yeah, I will say it's it is a way to disappear if you want to into, you know, a character. That's something that people say that they love. They love to kind of put on a costume and become somebody else for a little while. But I also just know that there's just being able to perform in front of an audience and get that kind of immediate feedback too is also motivational for people. But I, you know, and I do perform on stage occasionally. However, I find that I my real love is telling other people what to do, as I like to describe it. So I find it to be more comfortable for me in a directorial role, which is what I moved into after, you know, being on stage that first time. I actually directed the Vagina Monologues here. I don't know if you remember that. Maybe about 8 or 9 years ago.
Yes, I did attend that. It was a very powerful performance.
Yep, and I co-directed that with Jenny Kane, and that I think I just fell in love with. Taking the stories and finding a way to bring them alive on stage. I just fell in love with that process.
Well, and one of the things that struck me as I was just kind of thinking about this, I went to your website and I saw your mission statement. It basically says to provide an opportunity for dramatic expression in theater, education, and performance, creating one community through the arts. That's what really struck me, was that creating one community through the arts. So, and that sounds like, even like, I know the Vagina Monologues was such a powerful performance. And it seems like that seems to be what you guys are all about, is, you know, how do you create some of these performances that are impacting the community in some way?
Sure, and let me just take a step back too, because right now I'm with Viroqua Community Theater, but at that time we did that show independently. That was not with the Viroqua Community Theater. It was a community production. And so some of this is, you know, trying to sort out, you know, which production. We do have a lot of theater here. We have a lot of theater here. Viroqua Community Theater is one theater company in Viroqua doing community-based theater. So... that might sound confusing, and we can talk more about that. But yes, I will say I've been with Viroqua Community Theater for a couple years, and they have started expanding their production season in Viroqua and adding some of the more contemporary themes. They were traditionally a one musical a year. And in the last 3 years, they've added shoulder shows, you know, in February and December. We have a children's component.
Okay.
And so,
even that idea of shoulder shows, is that just kind of like you have kind of a main event, but then these are little extras that you do
on the
during
side. In the extra part of the season. I'm calling it that. And like I said, that's been new in the past couple years. So that's where Homegrown Voices is one of our shoulder shows, I like to call it. It's the first show in the 26-27 season, and we'll be doing 4 total shows. Actually, I might be wrong about that. I think it's the last show of the 25-26 season.
Somewhere where the year crosses
yes,
over.
Yes, my programming committee is going to get very, very mad at me for having messed that up. But yeah, the musical is the first show. Well, generally.
Okay, well, just a couple of things. It just seems like, one, there are, you know, a couple of different organizations maybe putting on some community events this way. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just want to say I think that's a really great thing.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So, and it does sound like what you're just saying with helping us understand the role of the Viroqua Community Theater is, sounds like they're growing and expanding some of their offerings, and whether it falls in this program year or next program year, that we got one coming up that's a good one.
We do.
Okay. Well, and I was intrigued with the idea of, again, using local playwrights. So can you talk a little bit about, who came up with that idea? Where'd that come from?
Sure. Our programming and reading committee, which is the committee that looks at what our shows are going to be this year and reads a bunch of scripts and comes up with new ideas. And they had the idea to highlight some local playwrights. We have a lot of really talented writers, as well as actors and theater, tech crew in this area. And they just came up with that idea. I think just it's something that other communities do. Winona does a local playwrights festival every year. That's a lot of fun. And it's a way for us to let local folks try something out and see, you know, try writing a play, see what it looks like when we bring it to the stage, which somebody who might be interested in doing that wouldn't have necessarily the means to do it on their own. So we're providing that opportunity to somebody to experiment with something new that they have never done before.
One of the things that's always struck me about the Viroqua area is the number of creatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are, it seems like, a lot of people around here that are writers or, I don't know, artists or creators in some way. And so having a platform, a place to bring their work to, just felt really, really good. So
absolutely.
Did people just submit?
Submit. Like, we had, I think we had 4 submittals. So next time we hope to have more. And just for length of time, we chose 3 of them, and it will be an evening of 3 shows with an intermission in between, and then directed by local directors.
And that was intriguing to me, too, just because I really like the idea of, I don't know, just to see how different people would present something.
Yes, it's a big challenge too. So the playwrights submitted their work, and then we found directors for each of the shows. It's a different director for each show, and then kind of that relationship is different for each show, depending on the director and the playwright. We cast had auditions and cast the show. There's some actors that will be in more than one show. We were surprised at the number of auditioners that we had for this. People were really excited about it, and very talented actors came out to audition for this show or for this festival.
Can you speak to that? What do you think that enthusiasm was? I mean, just
I would say we were surprised only because it's February. You know, and so maybe that's why a lot of people came out, because there's sometimes not a lot going on in February.
Yeah. But winter doldrums.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's why. But I think We just closed a show in the beginning of December that was new for us. We did a contemporary adult-themed show. Traditionally, we've always done family shows or, you know, I guess some of our musicals are, you know, we kind of go every other year with family musical, more adult musical. But we did a contemporary straight play, not a musical, in December. And I think people were, that the reception for that was very good. People were really excited that we were doing a contemporary show. Mm-hmm. So I think some of that momentum carried through to this. We had some folks who'd never auditioned for us before audition, which is always exciting because we're always hoping to increase our pool of theater makers.
Sure.
And I was floored by the quality of talent that showed up for these auditions.
Well, we'll probably come back to some of that cast exploration in a little bit here, mm-hmm. but I noticed that too. It seemed like there were a lot of familiar names mm-hmm. and yet definitely some new ones in mm-hmm. there too. So mm-hmm. that's always kind of fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
The quality, we know the quality of some of these actors that we've seen before. Mm-hmm. We know the quality of their presentations. And so that's always fun to look forward to seeing what they're going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, also to have the new people join them and see what they're going to bring to the,
sure.
to the stage.
If I can say a little bit more about the way we're running this show as well, it's a little bit different. And this may also be why we had more actors show up. We're not requiring the actors to memorize their lines. So we're treating this festival like a theater lab because they're new and they're short scripts. They're new kind of, it's new for us to do this and it's, you know, they're undeveloped scripts. So we're helping to develop them onto the stage. And so the actors don't have to memorize. We have a very expedited rehearsal schedule.
Uh-huh.
We're going in like my play that I'm directing. We'll have 5 rehearsals before we hit tech week, which is just not a lot of rehearsals. So removing the barrier of having to memorize the lines and work entirely on the blocking and the choreography of the piece has been different for us to do that as well.
Well, that'll be different to watch too, and yet it feels like in some ways just a real opportunity to mm-hmm. see something emerging.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's been a lot of fun to work. It's been a real collaborative process. Actors, people who only act, maybe they've never directed or they've never written a play, but they're actors, bring just a lot of great ideas to the process of creating a play. And so it's always combination of the vision of the playwright, the vision of the director as they interpret the script, and then what the actors come up with just by saying the lines on the stage, and you discover something new in that process, and then that guides us into how we might do it even differently. Like, I always have ideas, and then we try them out, and I'm like, well, that didn't work. Let's try something else. What do you guys got? And so it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you've got me feeling a little bit intrigued even about the idea of, like, trying to step into another character. I think I spend enough time trying to figure out who I am, but it would be fun to explore with that, you know, just to play around and mm-hmm. see what you can do. And even what just a different tone or a different presentation, how that would change the mm-hmm. whole dynamic of what you're presenting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's even just how you're standing on the stage as you say a line one way or another way can just alter how the audience is perceiving the story. And one thing I always like to ask myself, even as we're thinking about what kind of lighting we want for the show, is, you know, what story am I telling the audience? What do I want them to understand because of this choice I made about what kind of lighting to use or what kind of sound cue to use or where the actors standing on the stage or how they're standing in relation to each other? And that exploration to me is just, I could just do that all day, honestly.
Well, and that just sounds intriguing too in many ways because, it's so much more than words,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really thinking about the message that you want to deliver or what you want the audience to take away from that,
mm-hmm.
it's way more than just the words that they hear.
Right, absolutely.
Interesting. All right, well, so let's talk about, you know, there's going to be 3 plays that you've selected. Do you want to go over? Should we go over the names of them? Let's at least let people know what they are. So what are their names and who's doing them?
The who's who. We have a play called 2084. It was written by Pam Kalinowski.
Definitely a familiar name to the community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And directed by Catherine Lewiston. The second play is called Fading Memories, and it's written by Nathan Zirk and directed by myself. And Hairballs is the third play, written by Kay O'Brien, who's also been a theater actor, director, writer for many years, and directed by Catherine Goddard. I call her Kat. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's fun to see Kay O'Brien's name in there, going back to your story of your first.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. And she produces plays down in Crawford County. You know, she's been doing that for a long time. And I think she has some things coming up here, which I don't want to give wrong information. So I don't want to say what I think if it's wrong. But what I do want to say is keep an eye out, because I believe she's doing some productions of her own. Catherine Lewiston's on our board, and she's an amazing performer herself. And Nathan Zirk, who wrote Fading Memories, is a student at UWL, in student of theater. And he has been in a number of VCT productions. Most notably, he played the lead in Urinetown 2 years ago. And was in Little Mermaid, and I'm sure he was in other ones. Those are the two that I know most recently, and he is in many plays in La Crosse as well.
Well, it sounds like you're definitely drawing some talented people from the region. It's not even, community theater.
How big is our community? Yeah, right. It's very large. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, and that's really great to get that kind of quality and people that have that kind of experience.
We had actors from La Crosse that came to be in Mary Poppins last summer.
Yeah, that was a big one, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, I love the musicals, but I also like just things that are kind of stretched outside of the box. Mm-hmm. I always like things that are just a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. So, well, then you'll really like our season coming up this year.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we'll talk about that, too. Sure, I don't know, somewhere along the line on the show, we'll get to what's next, right?
But absolutely.
Well, I suppose let's talk a little bit about, you know, maybe each of these plays or, you know, each of these, what are the details a little bit? And, you know, because I guess I'm curious about each playwright, each director, each play.
And before we get into that, I do want to make sure people know tickets are live and you can buy tickets to the production. Our website is viroquacommunitytheater.org, and that is theater with an R-E.
Again, that was just viroquacommunitytheater.org,
yep.
Right? Well, we'll come back to the details then in just a minute, but we'll take just a moment here to thank our listeners for tuning in to WDRT. This is the show Conversations. My name is Kayleen Welsh. I'm here with Tanya Burka today, and we're talking about Viroqua Community Theater and their upcoming event called Homegrown Voices. Appreciate you listening. You can always tune in to Conversations every Thursday morning on WDRT-FM or stream from WDRT.org. And if you miss the show then, you can always catch it in the archives later on. Thanks for tuning in. All right, Tanya, we were going to talk a little bit about details of some of these plays that are the part of this Homegrown Voices presentation that's coming up. And I'll just repeat the dates again. It's February 21st and February 22nd. So that's a Saturday and a Sunday. It's a Saturday evening performance at 7 o'clock and a Sunday afternoon performance at 2.
That's correct.
All right. So.
And they're at the Landmark Center, which is 500 East Jefferson Street.
Oh, yeah. Good for everybody to know where to find it. Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right. Well, let's just start with, I don't know, which would you have a play you want to start with first?
Sure. Well, I'll start with maybe the one that I'm involved in. So Fading Memories was written by Nathan Zirk, who I said was a student at UWL, but has been in, he's from this area, and he has been involved in many community theater productions. And he wrote a play that explores memory, love, and the heartbreak of letting go as a family journeys through the process of one of their family members having dementia. And I know that Nathan wrote this play because of his own experiences with his, I believe it was his grandfather, who...
And an experience that many people are having.
Right. And I personally, I mean, this my day job is actually working with the elder community in their homes, and I've been doing that for decades and worked with people who have had dementia for... you know, for decades.
And well, and certainly this is a sidelight, but your joy program. I know that's not exactly how it's named. But
a Time for Joy.
A Time for Joy.
That's correct.
That's probably a topic for another, you know, conversation.
I would love to come and talk about that. Absolutely.
Because I think I've been doing a lot of good work there anyway.
Yes, absolutely. So I think Nathan, you know, reached out and asked me if I would direct the play for him based on my experiences with that. And so It's a play that's a little atypical in that it's not just a heavy dialogue-driven play. It's actually more on the emotional spectrum. And one of the things we're working with is soundscape and lighting to create an ambiance or a mood that will evoke in the audience members this experience, this journey of love and loss.
I really appreciate the idea of really evoking the emotion. Mm-hmm. Now, as a therapist, I just feel like that's just such an area of life where we've really shortchanged ourselves. Mm-hmm. We put everything into words and thinking, and, you know, we can present it that way, the mental piece.
Absolutely.
But to really dip into the emotion is just such an important part mm-hmm. of what we need to tap into.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a, you know, it's It will definitely be an experience. I think my hope is that we bring alive this experience in a way that's accessible to people to understand it and maybe to appreciate, you know, both the difficulties of dealing with somebody who is going through dementia, the challenges, as well as the grief and loss and the joy of a life well lived and the memories mm-hmm. that go along with that and how we hold on to those memories through the grief and the loss. So that play is starring Liz Hipwell as the main character, Sarah, and her son Mark is played by Petey Simon. I have worked with both of those people before in the Viroqua Shakespeare community, and they're just really great people to work with. Evan Blattner, Elena Bird, and Cameron Cormican, who's from Richland Center, round out the cast. Evan's my husband. I've clearly worked with him a number of times.
Yeah, we've seen his face in a few different productions.
Yeah, he's a very talented actor. Cam has been acting in the Richland Community Theater community for a long time, and Elena's new to me. They are came to the auditions, and so I don't have a personal story to tell about them, but they've been lovely to work with, uh-huh. and brings a real grounding and a sense of kind of a calmness to round out the cast.
Well, and you said there was a little music to go along with that one. Is it?
We do. I'm very excited to be working with Frank Wildingway and Jeff Miller, who. I made the decision to go with live music versus recorded music or sound cues for the show. And Frank is kind of well known and talented at being able to, you know, to kind of create a musical ambiance. He does his own shows at the Landmark. So I'm familiar with him. He's also in a band that my husband's also in. So I'm familiar with his musical skill. And Jeff Miller, I also know he's also in my husband's band. I say that as if it's Evan's band, but the band that Evan's in.
Yeah, what's their current name? Yeah, I mean...
The South Street Band.
South Street
and
Band, that's what I was
They're
thinking.
Definitely a don't-miss
yeah.
band.
Yeah, they're
really
a lot
great.
Of fun.
Mm-hmm. And
definitely add a lot of flair to some community events.
Absolutely,
lovely.
Absolutely. And so they, Jeff and Frank, will be providing both some music and just some soundscape is what we're working with. And we haven't actually put the two yet together. Thursday will be our first time having the cast and the musicians together in the same room. So
there's more to be revealed.
There's more to be revealed. I don't even know what's going to happen. And so that's Fading Memories. And then Hairball is, actually, I think it's Hairballs. Hairballs is obviously one of the characters is a cat. written by Kay O'Brien, who we mentioned has been in the theater community for a very long time, and directed by Kat Goddard. And I think this is Kat's first time directing, but I'm pretty sure that's true. But Kat has been in other productions in other ways in the past. And it says here, cats will always gack, sometimes making life seem like one big hairball. And this play is about a family who's going through some maybe dysfunction is what I'll call it. And
kind of like most of us at times.
Most of us at times. And trying to figure things out. And so Paige Abt is in that. And she's also new to me. She was a new auditioner. So what I've seen on the stage has been really great.
Actually, I just got to throw in, but I used to know Paige a long time ago.
Oh, great.
She was in the same class as my daughter in school. So I'm looking forward to seeing
Paige's debut. That's great. Yeah, I think this is her first time on stage. And then Cam, like I said, is they've been acting in Richland Center. And actually, Cam was in the Christmas Carol a year ago for VCT. Melissa Morgan is new to me, although Melissa is a musician in the area, and so I think she's a familiar face to a lot of people. And David Oldenburg has been a longtime person on Kay O'Brien's radio show that happens in the Carousel on Sunday nights. He's one of the voices in a lot of her shows. And James Fuller is a musician around town. I know he's in Winter Blues, and he's in another band, a duo with somebody, and I'm not going to remember the name of it. Sorry, James. But he's also been in a number of VCT shows.
And a marvelous musician.
Yes, he's a marvelous musician. And Margot Hipwell, who people will know from being on the theater many, many times, and she is just one of my favorite actors to see on stage. She's very, very good. So that's Hairballs.
Do we get a clue on who plays the cat, or is that yet to be seen?
Do you want to guess?
I do have a guess. I would guess Margot.
It's Margot.
Uh-huh. I'm curious about that. I'm really eager to see how that comes forth.
So. Yeah, she was famous for playing a dog in a show in the Underground a number of years ago. I think the play was called Sylvia. And people just loved her in that. So I don't think that's exactly why she was cast as the cat. But she's good no matter what you ask her to do.
Yeah, so. No, that's going to be delightful, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And then the final show is 2084, written by Pam Kalinowski, who was a member of the Viroqua Community Theater Board for a number of years. I actually asked her from 2008 to 2013 and from 2017 to 2023. She was on the board, although she says, I think this is correct. And I want to just read what she wrote. I asked her, why did you write this play? And she said, I can tell you I was possessed to get my fears down on paper. And being a theater person, I found writing a play about AI would work for me. So this play is about how AI has sort of taken over.
Okay, so this is the 2084?
Yep. It's a dystopian-style play. She says, AI rules, animals inherit the earth, humanity forgets love, pods await the end. Welcome to 2084.
Yikes.
Yes. So she said writing this play helped her manage her fears about AI. And she said, I'm so discouraged by people that say, well, it's here and available. Why wouldn't I use it? And to write papers or put words together for documents. She said, when we still have the ability to do this ourselves, why would we want AI to do it? Let AI take over? Sure, why not? It's easier. Insert expletive here, she says. She says, people aren't seeing the future that I fear is coming our way. I don't think my play's message is far-fetched at all, but I wish it was. So she, I think, would acknowledge it's a dark play, but I think people will need sometimes to see those things. I believe the play 2084 is sort of a play on the 1984, which mm-hmm. at the time that was written was a very dark mm-hmm. story about what the future might mm-hmm. bring. And so that's looking at
George Orwell.
Exactly.
Book.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, and I think there are a lot of people that are dealing with a lot of fear around a lot of things mm-hmm. currently, including AI and technology and where we're going with all mm-hmm. of this. So it is, you know, good to, as much as maybe we don't always like looking at the dark, to really give voice
exactly.
to these fears, because a lot exactly. of people are carrying them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what theater can help us process these emotions as well. I think I'll just add the people I've not yet talked about, because Frank's in this play, Liz is in this play, Eric Ellefson is in this play, and he has also been in many, many Viroqua Community yes. Theater plays. Adam Fogelson, who recently directed a play for us, The Dead Man's Cell Phone, will be acting in this play. Evan again, Paige again, and then Jen Horton, who many people would also recognize as a longtime actor in the community. She's been on stage many, many times, and she's great to work with as well.
I would imagine it's just good experience even for new actors and old actors to come together, mm-hmm. or, you know, experienced, I guess is a better word, more mm-hmm. experienced, each hopefully gaining something from the others.
Absolutely. It's just so great to see what other people bring and learn from them. Absolutely. That's why I like to go see a lot of theater too, because I learn something at every show that I
mm-hmm.
watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, this should be fun with the local playwrights, and it just sounds like an interesting mix of stories and interesting mix of directors, and so it will be a fun thing to attend.
Absolutely, so. Yes. Come out, buy tickets, and see the show. Enjoy the show. Enjoy a midwinter night in the theater,
yes.
or an afternoon in the
uh-huh.
theater.
Or an afternoon. Okay, so again, we'll share the dates again, February 21st and 22nd. And
mm-hmm.
Tickets, www.viroquacommunitytheater.org.
And that's theater with an R-E, although if you just Google Viroqua Community Theater and spell it any way you want to, we're still going to pop up.
Oh, that's helpful. That's always helpful. All
yeah.
right. So talk a little bit more about Viroqua Community Theater and some of the other things that you've got going on.
We do. Yes. We're very excited to announce this season. Well, we've announced the season, but what's coming up is after this, we will be moving pretty quickly into our summer shows. So Mamma Mia is our summer show, which we're all very excited about. It will be directed by Steve Lardan. So many people are familiar with him. He was did the theater program at Youth Initiative for a number of years, and then he was at the Underground Theater, and he was in Urinetown for Viroqua Community Theater, and so he's just a very talented person to be directing that for us. And
well, that's such a fun play.
It is,
you know,
it's a crowd pleaser.
Yeah,
and we'll have auditions at the end of April. They'll be announced on the website. We'll have posters up, and then the performances are the last weekend in July and the first weekend in August. So starting with July 30th for the next two weekends. And that's coming up next. And then I'm particularly thrilled to say that we'll be bringing Missoula Children's Theater back. I think we had them last summer, and then I think we had them a few years ago. Like,
I remember seeing the name.
Yep. And they are a wonderful experience. If you have kids who are even just like thinking about being in theater, or even if they just want something to do for a week in the summer, it's a week-long summer intensive. It's fun. It's super fun. A fun intensive for grades 1 through 8. And it's from July 6th through the 11th. They hold auditions, they start rehearsals, and then they have a show 5 days later. And I had never seen them before last year. And they did The Wizard of Oz last year. And I was just over the moon delighted. They just do a great job with the kids. They pull together a great show in 5 days. I don't know how they do it. They're very talented. They perform it at the elementary school, and it's a collaboration with the school district, with Verroqua Area Schools. This year, we're excited to announce that we'll be including some workshops that will be a part of the Verroqua Summer School Program schedule.
Oh, that's nice.
So you can just do workshops without being in the summer intensive, or you can do both. The workshops will be, you know, available for registration in the summer school program book, and the Missoula, that week-long intensive, will be through Verroqua Community Theater. So,
wow, there's a lot you said there. So, yeah. Wow, that's what a great opportunity for to participate in this, you know, week-long intensive thing and then do the play, but also to have the workshops as part of summer school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a really good opportunity for kids. And I guess I would love to hear your thoughts on why that's important that kids get involved in theater.
Oh, why not?
Okay.
There's just, like, first of all, kids love to perform, right? I mean, there's something for everybody in a show like this. There's for the people who want to stand in the middle of the stage and be adored, and the ones who just want to be a part of a group and they can just be like a munchkin and come out, you know, on the stage with a whole bunch of other groups. So there's for shy kids or not, you know, or outgoing kids, there's a place for you in this, and you will have, you know, be working closely with people who are very good at working with children. And so I think for kids for this age, grades 1 through 8, it's a way for them to explore whether this is something that they want to continue to do. They'll find out if they like it or not. And it's also just a great experience to be part of building a story that you bring to life. Like, I have wanted to do things like this since I was a child. I wrote a play when I was in kindergarten because I was like, I want to bring, it's like a 2-minute play about bunnies. But, you know, it's like, just like taking a story and bringing it to life is something that always has thrilled me. And I think a lot of kids also like that. That's why they turn books into movies and television shows, right? But theater is just, it's so much more intimate and so much more, you know, hands-on. It's just, it's a great exploration tool for kids at that age.
I'm just really appreciating the whole concept, I guess, because I tend to be one of those people that have been a little bit more always behind the scenes and mm-hmm. probably a little on the shyer side and mm-hmm. not really, it takes a lot. It's taken a lot for me even to do this radio show. So anyway, I guess, you know, I'm thinking about, it was just over Christmas. I've moved across the river to Lansing now, but I went to a local church production, this little Christmas pageant, and I was just so impressed with the free expression of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as adults, we get scared, you know, mm-hmm. we're like all caught up in, you know, am I going to do this well, or am I going to look stupid, or mm-hmm. what are people going to think? And these kids were just so open and expressive, and I thought, and brave. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they just did their thing, and they didn't seem to care who, you know, if anybody was watching, or, I mean, mm-hmm. they were excited to do it. And so, anyway, I just totally appreciate that.
Absolutely. And Kayleen, you know, you can't do theater shows without backstage people. So we always need people who don't want to be on the stage mm-hmm. to help make the show a success.
Ooh, that sounds like community.
Yeah, we need tech people. We need prop makers. We need costumers. We need people who will run the lights. We need ushers. We need people who will just backstage, you know, make sure the kids are all ready to go when it's time for them to go on stage. We need, you know, people to make the programs and do the marketing, and, you know, there's so many pieces to putting together a show. It's very, very much a group effort.
Well, and I appreciate that idea again, too, and I think that's just valuable to point out because we forget sometimes, right? We think about the star, mm-hmm. you know, or the people mm-hmm. out front, but for anything, you mm-hmm. know, really that we go to do, there's a backup team.
Absolutely.
You know, that whatever we're offering would not be the same without.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we did a show last summer called Masha and the Firebird where we had puppets and we had a local prop maker, Jackson Fortney, and my husband made the puppets for that show. And, we, you know, like that show would not have worked without somebody making those puppets for me. I don't make puppets. You know, I can barely hammer a nail in the wall. And so so we need all of that.
The costumes, the set, I mean, all of those things feel like they're important. And it's always been intriguing to me just to see how people, you know, create a set or, you know, how to move things around or, I don't know. It's always fascinating to me.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, set design and set building, that's a skill I wish we had. We have some very talented ones in this town. And actually, I would like to tell people that if you're interested in any of this, please reach out and let us know. We're always hoping to bring more people into the tech side of things to learn the skills to run the, that's actually fun to run the light board. If you want to learn how to run a light board or, you know, a soundboard or, how to make a set, we're always looking for people who are interested in that.
Sounds very welcoming and fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to take another break for a minute here and remind our listeners that they are tuning in to Conversations on WDRT Community Radio 91.9 FM coming out of Viroqua, Wisconsin. We're really grateful that you're tuning in, and we invite you to listen to this show, Conversations, every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock as we go through a rotating series of hosts with different conversations and different people. Again, tune in always Thursdays at 9 o'clock, WDRT 91.9 FM, stream from WDRT.org, or you can listen to the show in the archives. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back to Conversations. I'm your host, Kayleen Welsh, and I'm here with Tanya Burka, and we're talking about Viroqua Community Theater and some of their upcoming events. So we were just talking about the children's theater for the summer, which just sounds like a great opportunity for kids to participate. And so I think you said that the show is The Little Mermaid. Is that?
That's correct. We'll be doing The Little Mermaid this year, and it'll be on July 11th. They'll have two performances, and I did want to make sure everyone knows that all children are welcome to sign up for that intensive program. You don't have to be a student at Viroqua Area Schools for that week-long intensive.
Sure. Okay, so that's open to kids from all over the area or wherever they want to come from. Correct. What a great opportunity to get the little ones in there and hit it hard for a week and give them an experience out on the stage and
absolutely.
Or to be involved in such a big production. So, all right. So we've been going over some of the other events. Really, I guess I just want to go back to the Homegrown Voices,
okay,
which is the event that kind of prompted this conversation. And that's coming up, you know, soon here, February 21st and 22nd.
Correct.
And we've been then also talking about some of the other events that Viroqua Community Theater is planning for the year.
Yep.
And so we're looking ahead. So what's next?
We have Mamma Mia and Missoula Community or Children's Theater doing The Little Mermaid. In December, we'll be doing a play. I'll be directing our winter show this year, and it's called The Snow. And it's a play by Finnegan Kruckmeyer, who is an amazing playwright. He's done, his plays have been performed all over the world. He's actually an Irish playwright living in Australia. And I'd seen one of his plays in Minneapolis, done by 10,000 Things Theatre Company. And it's funny and quirky and folksy. And it's about two communities kind of fighting with each other and how they need to solve a problem together. And I think it's a great play and a great playwright, and I'm really excited to bring him to Viroqua.
Well, that sounds like a good find and an interesting topic.
Absolutely. Yep, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, so December, and I got to just, you know, go back just because I'm a fan of Mamma Mia, just because I'll throw out here that I got the opportunity to travel not very long ago and to one of the islands where Mamma Mia
Greek
was filmed. And
oh,
so
fun.
While we were there, they did an outdoor presentation of the play, and it was just such a great experience. It was definitely touches my heart. So I'm totally looking forward to April auditions and the July August show of Mamma Mia. and then we'll have the children's theater, and then this really sounds like an intriguing play, this The Snow in December.
Absolutely.
That you'll be directing. And I guess I'm just also intrigued by the idea of, I would imagine you do see, you yourself go to several presentations and get ideas. And
yes, my husband and I like to say that theater is our drug of choice.
Okay.
And so we have a heavy spring. We're seeing plays every week right now. We're looking forward to, we're going as far away as Milwaukee, Minneapolis. I'm going to see one in Rochester in a couple weeks. We try to catch the Cashton has an amazing high school theater company. Verroqua Area Schools is doing Finding Nemo in a couple weeks. Wisconsin Family Theater right here in Verroqua is doing a show at the Temple the first weekend in March. And then we're big fans of APT, American Players Theater, and we are ushers there, so we see a lot of the plays there. And then Two Crows out of Spring Green is one of our favorite theater companies. And we're going to see, we have season tickets to see their shows.
Wow, no, that just sounds like fun.
That's intimate. They have like less than 50 people in their theater, in their actual space, so it's a very intimate theater. They do them at the Slowpoke Lounge in Spring Green. Mm. And the Forward, we go to Madison for the Forward Theater Company as well. So we're big theater supporters, and I will say that there's just nothing better than really getting lost in a story and just getting completely drawn in by the actors and the stage and the sound. And yeah, it's quite amazing. We just saw a show at the Forward Theater Saturday, and called Ironbound, and it was one of the best things I've probably ever seen. It was so good.
Hmm.
About a Polish immigrant in New Jersey. It's kind of a bit of a biographical play from the playwright, and it was amazing.
It's just interesting to think about how some of these plays can really expand our mind or our opportunities. And again, I have to say I've probably been more of a book reader than a playgoer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet in recent years, I guess I've gotten out there a little bit more. And I guess I'm always amazed at what can come to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, as you shared all these, you know, things that you attend, there's so many opportunities in the area to experience things. And I guess it was just, I don't know, last week or so, we saw Rochester is having some World Ballet Company do Cinderella.
Sure.
I love that kind of thing.
Sure.
So yeah, we rushed out and got tickets, and so lots of opportunity to see things in the area, isn't
mm-hmm.
there?
There is.
Yeah.
Yep, I forgot to mention Gray Area Productions in La Crosse, which is one of our collaborators at Verroqua Community Theater. They're doing a show that's coming up this spring called Pool No Water, and they just do really amazing stuff there at Gray Area Productions. They perform in the Pump House. So one of my favorite forms of theater is in what can be called a black box theater, which is, it's a very intimate, generally you've got three sides where people are sitting, and the stage kind of, you know, is in the center almost, and it just like you're just in the play with the actors, you're just right there, and that's one of my favorite experiences, and they do it well in La Crosse, just right here in La Crosse, and La Crosse Community Theater does amazing shows as well there.
Is there a good resource just to keep track of some of these, or do you kind of just kind of follow, find their names and?
Yeah, I wish there was a central hub of theater. There's not one that I know of, but as as we go, we'll even as simple as reading a program and seeing what somebody else is advertising, and we'll be like, oh, maybe we should check that out, you know? So that's one way of finding out. But yeah, you just, once you start going, you start looking and seeing what's out there. You can just Google La Crosse Theater and see what pops up.
Uh-huh.
You know, Verroqua Theater, see what pops up. But
good tip. I mean, that's a good idea.
And there's a lot of, like if you're familiar with American Players Theater, those actors, they perform in other places as well. So the show we just saw in Madison on Tuesday had a person who's been in many, many American Players theaters. He's in the core company there, and there he was on the stage at the Forward Theater. in Madison. So yeah, I think you just start finding out about it. I think we could do a better job of promoting the regional theater offerings from our place, from here in Viroqua, you know, the different theater companies. We could be cross-promoting each other better.
Well, and I would suppose that, is it like, I don't know, Facebook pages, or what's the best way even to keep track of auditions? Newspaper? How do you guys really get the word out?
We do, if you're on our email list, which you maybe have gotten onto because you bought a ticket from us one time, or you asked to be on it, or you've been in one of our shows, involved in one of our shows, we do send out, you know, an email, direct emails to people. We do have a Facebook page, Viroqua Community Theater Facebook page. We have, and we'll always put posters up around town because we know often that's the best way to reach people. They're at, you know, at Magpie, and they always check out. I always sure. check out the bulletin board at the Co-op and Magpie, and Proline has a good one, and to find out what else is going on. Yeah, we try to get press releases into the newspaper, but those deadlines can sometimes be tricky.
Sure.
You got to get them quite a bit in sure. advance, and we always try to get on WDRT if we can.
Well, that's probably important too. Yeah. Uh-huh, that's good. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so we were just talking about the other presentations coming up this year, and we were just talking about the snow. Is there anything else? What's after that? Is anything else?
Then we look at 2027. In February, we would be doing our variety show again, which we do every other year as a fundraiser, and just another opportunity for local or regional performers, musicians, singers, actors to bring something in a very easy way to the stage. Mm-hmm. If you wrote a skit and you want to bring it to the stage.
Seems like there's a lot of good opportunities then for people that are willing to just step out here maybe and explore
exactly.
this a little bit
exactly.
through the variety show or even through any of the presentations that you bring.
Yes. And, you know, working with the Viroqua Community Theater, I should say, if you have no experience being on stage and it's a good way to start seeing if you like it, because it's we try to cast everyone in as much of our productions as we can. You know, obviously we're role limited, but often we try to pick shows that have a flexible casting so that if 20 people try out but there's only 4 main roles, the other 16 people still have a way to be in there as a villager or as a, you know, as a just filling in other parts, smaller parts, or just being on stage to provide other things to see on the stage. So it's a easy way to start and to try to see if you like theater. So don't ever be shy about coming to an audition if you've never auditioned before, as we had a number of people come for the first time for Homegrown
awesome.
Voices.
So I've heard the word community several times. So can you speak to, you know, what does having this available in a community do for a community?
That's a good question. And I know when you sent that, spoiler alert, she sent some of the questions to me ahead of time. You know, I think that working together to bring a story to the stage is a great community building experience. It can be hard when you think, like, the actors seem to kind of get all the kudos because they're the ones on the stage. But, you know, we have so many talented people working backstage to bring shows who are just happy to support that and are not necessarily interested in being on stage. And we couldn't do these shows without them, and they're so talented. And so when I go see a show, I'm like, look at that set, you know, like, oh, wow, they did a great job with the lighting, you know, or wow, that sound design was really amazing. Like, the next time you go see a show, pay attention to more than just the actors and realize what all went on to put that onto the stage. It's hard to design a show with set movement in a way that isn't disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beauty of creating a choreography just around set change in between scenes is something people don't often think about, but it's needed to it be done in a thoughtful way.
Sure.
That it doesn't distract from the story. And so that helps also build the story. And I think in, you know, ever since there's been humans on Earth, we've been singing, dancing, and telling stories. And it's always fun to sit and listen to a story. I mean, the Moth podcast is just a wonderful thing to listen to. But watching a story come to life right in front of your eyes is just, it's an experience that I just, you know, it's something that helps me make sense of the world. And the harder things get in life, the more time I want to spend in a dark theater watching a story come to life, exploring themes. Like, I don't want to go always just to see a comedy. Like, I'm not going just to be entertained. I want the character, like, to be meaningful to me. I want the characters to be real people. And, you know, it's... Yeah.
I always feel like I want to leave the theater just kind of feeling touched, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, somehow moved in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's always interesting to me to watch, you know, a cast or people from a community, people that I know, when I see them on stage, it's like, wow, I had no idea they had that in them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, just kind of interesting, too, to see, a metamorphosis or, you
Absolutely.
Know, people change somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's really fun to watch.
Absolutely. Especially like I watch my husband a lot on stage and I just, it's very, because he's a talented actor, like it's very easy for me to separate, you know, my husband from the character because mm-hmm. he's good enough to do that. Like he mm-hmm. can do that. He can do that for me, for the audience member. He can be somebody completely different on stage.
Well, and at a time when we have, I mean, less and less opportunity for theater, I think in schools, I mean, we're worried about budgets and, mm-hmm. you know, some of those things, the arts are the pieces that first get kind of cut out of there. So it just feels very important to remember the importance
mm-hmm.
of why these things are relevant or mm-hmm. why we need them. And
mm-hmm.
so I appreciated your line, too, about how, you know, we come from histories of singing, dancing, and telling stories, and so to keep that alive.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Viroqua Community Theater, for doing your part to keep that alive.
And absolutely, and we couldn't do it without an audience. So I do want to say, you know, come out and see us. We can play around on the stage all we want, but it's no fun unless there's somebody to do it for.
Sure, well, that makes a good sense. We all need the feedback. Well, and I know we're down just to the last little bit of time here on the show, so any closing thoughts, Tanya? Or?
No, I just encourage everybody to check us out, come and see a show, reach out to us if you want to be in a show, or help out even as simple as being an usher or working the concessions or the box office. You know, we're always looking to expand our community and we're always looking for talented or just motivated people to help out, help us create shows. And we could not do this without our sponsors. So I do want to say, you know, we have many local and regional business people who help us out with sponsorships. And, you know, we couldn't be sustainable without their help. So thank you to our sponsors. I did not bring a list of them, but
it sounds like
our programs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it sounds like a definite community endeavor. And I'm glad to hear even just all those different suggestions you offer for really how community can participate but support this ongoing work that
Absolutely.
You guys are doing. So,
absolutely.
All right, just a reminder again, then just final time for Viroqua or for Homegrown Voices coming up February 21st and 22nd. And you can get your tickets at www.viroquacommunitytheater.org. Did I get that right, Tanya?
That's correct. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Check us out.
All right. I guess that's it. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, Kayleen.